This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a KMOX Sports exclusive.
Wind swings and he drives that to left field.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Back to the track and gone.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Burleson hits it hard through the hole at short into left center field.
Now, live from Dallas and the Major League Baseball Winter Meetings. Sponsored by Goodwill. Give local. Give hope. Give Goodwill. It's Matt Pauly on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Yeah, for one final night, we are here coming your way from the baseball winter meetings in Dallas. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Thanks you so much for being with us. As always, if you want to get involved in the program, you can call, you can text, you can tweet, you can leave a voice message. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. Calling, texting, if you tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or if you want to leave a voice message, if you are listening via the Odyssey app, you just click on the little microphone button. You can leave yourself a voicemail message, and we will get that, or voice message, excuse me, and we will get that into our studio. It is the final night. Really, if we're being honest about it, the baseball winter meetings are over. There is still some media stuff going on in terms of some national TV networks and things like that are still live. But you would think it is a different lobby that we are sitting in right now if you go from now to where things were at 24 hours ago. Much earlier today, I saw most of the Cardinals contingent making their way out of Dallas. So things are essentially done. The Rule 5 draft did take place earlier today. That was the final kind of, like, there were some meetings that took place after the Rule 5 draft, but in terms of things that are somewhat public-facing, that was the final thing that took place. Rule 5 draft, not overly impactful for the Cardinals. They did not choose to select anybody. They would have had to use their final spot on the 40-man roster to do that. Did not sound like they were overly excited about not having a lot of flexibility, and that's what happens when you've got a Rule 5 guy on your roster. You're not able to move them off of the roster. So as of yesterday, thought it was a 50-50 shot. Maybe I even misevaluated that a little bit. Maybe it was less than that. But either way, they don't make it. The Cardinals do lose a player in the Major League phase of the Rule 5 draft as Connor Thomas. He was selected by the Milwaukee Brewers, so that means the Cardinals are likely to see him. He has to stay on the Brewers roster here moving forward. So I was reading some of the things out of Milwaukee. They seem to be excited about Thomas, and now he is headed to Milwaukee, where he's going to get an opportunity to be on their 40-man roster and be on their active roster as well, the 26-man active roster as well there in Milwaukee. So here's what's coming up on the program. First off, Bernie Miklas is going to join us in less than 10 minutes. Later on this hour, we're very happy to be able to welcome onto the show a St. Louisan, a guy that you see on MLB Network. Greg Amsinger is going to join us. I think we got him once for Countdown to Opening Day, maybe here at the winter meetings a couple years ago in San Diego, if I remember correctly. But I don't think we've, since I have been hosting Sports Open Line, I do not believe that we have had Greg on the show. So Greg Amsinger is going to join us in about 20 minutes at about 6:35. We'll get his thoughts on everything going on at the winter meetings, also on what the Cardinals are doing and what the Cardinals might do from his perspective as well. Next hour, Ricky Horton's going to join us from here in Dallas. And also coming up next hour, our good friend Sam Levitt, who does pre and post for the San Diego Padres. He's going to join us as well. It turns into a very quiet baseball winter meetings for the Cardinals. No moves made. We found out on Monday that they intend to trade. Let me rephrase that. We didn't find out. Previously reported information was confirmed by the Cardinals. That'd be the way to say it. That they intend to trade Nolan Arenado. That had widely been reported, and it was confirmed by John Mozeliak. Mo indicated to us that it was unlikely that a deal would get done for Arenado prior to the winter meetings wrapping up. Winter meetings have wrapped up. Nolan Arenado is still technically a Cardinal. So Mo was correct in saying that. Thought there might be a chance that they would move Steven Matz here at the meetings. Didn't happen. We're continuing to see a lot of money thrown at pitchers. Makes me continue to believe that Eric Fetty is going to be incredibly valuable to other teams if the Cardinals make the decision that they're going to go ahead and move on from him. So that's kind of a rundown from a Cardinal standpoint, what has happened. From a big picture perspective, Major League Baseball perspective, there was a notable move today. The Red Sox acquiring Garrett Crochet from the Chicago White Sox for a package of prospects. So that makes the Red Sox better. And, yeah, they go from there. But that's kind of the news of the day as folks are continuing to make their way out here in Dallas. We will take a break, and when we come back, Bernie Miklas is set to join us. We'll get his thoughts on what has happened here at the baseball winter meetings. That's coming up in just a moment or so. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line live from Dallas in the baseball winter meetings right here on KMOX. It's a great bar of sports open line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Dallas in the lobby of the Hilton that I can say was hosting the baseball winter meetings as things have essentially wrapped up. Basically, I'm sitting in a wide open lobby with just a few people walking around. Very happy to welcome on to the program. He's our good friend, Bernie Miklas, of course, KMOX contributor, also part of the Gas House gang. Bernie, always good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing even better now that we're connecting again and talking about baseball and all kinds of other things. You've done a great job down there in Dallas, Matt.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed your coverage.
Yep. Awesome. It's been fun. And unfortunately for Cardinals fans, other than all John Mozeliak did was confirm what had previously been reported. So for folks who are paying attention, nothing new has really come out of these winter meetings.
No, but I think you're right. I agree with that. But I do think that Mozeliak provided a lot of clarity because he had the confidence, in effect, to state that, you know, he believed that they would get a deal done. You know, he didn't say it was for sure. He didn't say that everything was set. But he really conveyed a lot of confidence that this trade will happen. The team, we don't know. But they've obviously made enough progress where they have confidence in it. And when you give permission to the agent to start working with some of the teams on Arenado's list, that's really a sign that tells me this is going to happen. So, I think that was the news, if there was, quote, news. I just think it was more of a development, more of an advancement of the story. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, and I would also say this to just add on. I would say it stronger than you did, Bernie. There, John Mozeliak does not say what he said unless he is essentially 100% sure that he can get the deal done.
Hey, you're right. Hey, Matt, look, can I ask you a question just to
sure.
turn the tables here? Because you're down there and you've been working the lobby all week. Just in terms of a lot of the chatter going on, how would you handicap, if you can, I don't know, are you picking up on something that tells you that one or two destinations could be more likely than the others for Arenado?
Yes, it's a really good question, because if there wouldn't, there was the John Denton report that came out yesterday that listed the six teams, and the Yankees were not on that list. If that report would not have come out, I would be telling you right now that I think there is better than a 50% chance that he ends up with the Yankees. I keep hearing Yankees over and over and over again. I don't know how to kind of, you know, make that all add up, though, Bernie, where good reporting comes out, doesn't have the Yankees on the list, but I keep hearing Yankees. So I'm not quite sure what to do with that.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, because I was surprised, first of all, when John Denton published the six teams. What the heck are the Angels doing on there, right? Seriously.
If you're going to lose, at least you can lose and sleep in your own bed, Bernie.
Like, they haven't had a winning season since 2015. They've been in the playoffs one time since 2010. So anyway, and actually the Yankees are a terrific fit for Arenado in a lot of ways. And if he's willing to go to the Mets, why wouldn't he be willing to go to the Yankees? And I did, you know me, Mr. Numbers. I looked it up. And right-handed Yankee hitters in the new ballpark, which opened in 2009, right-handed batters who play for the Yankees, in other words, they're comfortable, they know the park, they know what they have to do to get the ball out and all that stuff. They got a .442 slugging percentage playing in that park. I think Yankee Stadium, even though it's easier to hit for power to right field than left, I think Yankee Stadium could help rejuvenate his power. I really do.
Yeah. I'm also hearing, and I want to be, I'm not a newsbreaker by any stretch of the mind. You hear something here, you hear something there. I'm getting the sense that the Yankees are not really in on Alex Bregman right now, and I'm getting the sense that they are in on Christian Walker. And if that plays out that way, Bernie, that just adds to the fit for Nolan Arenado.
No doubt about it. And here's the other thing. When they lost Soto, like I read the New York Post because of their baseball coverage, and I know a lot of the New York guys, and I was texting with a couple of them. The one thing that they did, I'm talking about Brian Cashman, when they lost Soto, their offense will not be as grandiose as it was, obviously. So they pivoted to run prevention. It's all about run prevention now, and that's why they gave all that money to Max Fried. They got some other moves up their sleeve. And Nolan Arenado playing third base for you would improve your defense dramatically, and it would also fit into the desire for better run prevention for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, it fits for so many reasons. I also thought it was interesting that a preferred destination would be the Boston Red Sox. Before all this went down, Bernie, I didn't think the Red Sox would be a spot that Nolan would be jumping to go to.
Well, he's got his friend Trevor Story there. Maybe that's a factor. I don't know. I think he also senses that, you know, the ownership is an ultra aggressive move, so they're going to be trying to do things. Heck, they got Garrett, what's his name, Crochet. Yeah. Sorry about that. You know, they traded four of their top 14 prospects to land him. That's a signal that they're serious about winning. And if you look at that left side of the infield, because Trevor Story is finally healthy. You get the left side of the infield with those two guys, and that's another thing. The Red Sox are big time determined to clean up their defense, which was awful last year. So all of a sudden, you know, you have a really terrific left side of the infield. I think Arenado would enjoy hitting in Fenway Park because it's hard to explain. I think Arenado sees it at a place where he probably could get a ton of doubles, you know, and doubles are really good, even if they're not homers.
Yeah, doubles. I got to get extra base hits, and I agree with that. I do think there is a development that has happened for the Cardinals here that is not being talked about because we don't actually know about it. But everybody with the Cardinals are here. I spent some time talking with Heim Bloom. I got to meet Rob Serfolio. He was a really impressive person to be able to spend some time talking with. That group spent a lot of time, Bernie, talking to people that they wanted to bring into the organization, and I got the sense in one of my conversations today that they were able to wrap up a good number of hires, and I think we're going to at some point in the very near future get another set of announcements on some different positions within player development, and it's going to be more impressive people coming into the organization.
I'm with you, and like 3 points to add to yours, and I'll go quick. How impressive are these guys? Chaim Bloom, you know, bring it. He hires Cerfolio, which is a home run hire, and then Cerfolio's bringing in other incredible, you know, really. Well, I don't know if it's incredible, but really, really respected and heralded people in terms of baseball instruction and running a minor league system and, you know, doing all the things to give the prospects the best possible chance to be ready for the majors. What I like about it, it shows that, number one, Chaim Bloom did his homework and he was prepared to take over this job. Number two, it shows you how well connected Bloom is and Cerfolio is. They're both so well connected within the game. And number three, and I think fans should take note of this, they're attracting some really good baseball people to come to the Cardinals organization. That tells me that Bloom and Cerfolio hold a lot of respect and admiration within the game. And that really matters, because you're not going to get the best and the brightest to come work for the Cardinals unless they believed in Bloom and Cerfolio.
It's interesting you say that, Bernie, because I'm at our booth here. We've got a big banner that says Cardinals Radio Network, and it's got the Cardinals logo. I can't tell you over the last 3 days how many agents, other people who work inside of baseball, unprompted, walked up to the table to tell me just how much they think of Chaim Bloom. It happened over and over and over again. It felt like the entire baseball world just wanted to congratulate all parties involved that Chaim Bloom was on with the Cardinals.
That's a great nugget of info, man. I love hearing that. And in my experience talking to just a couple of people that I know that are in executive level positions with other teams, texting with them, the feeling that I got talking to them is that around baseball circles, you know, the people that run baseball operations or involved in a high level job, they all believe that Chaim Bloom got a totally raw deal in Boston because they think he's really smart. They think he's an honorable guy. They think he's a guy that, you know, you can talk trades with. He's not going to try to hustle you or con you or pull a fast one. They think he's terrific, and they think the Red Sox really, really, really changed the job description and pulled the rug out from under him, and they thought it was terribly unfair. So I like hearing that. I like hearing what you just said. Some Cardinals fans, I understand, you know, until he starts doing the job, you might hold back and there's going to be some reservations, and there might be some Cardinals fans that'll be mad next winter if they don't spend money on free agents. But give the guy a chance, because he's held in high regard around baseball. And I think he's just what the Cardinals need at this point in their transition.
He is Bernie Miklas, of course. Subscribe to his YouTube channel, at The Bernie Show. He did about 40 minutes on Nolan Arenado yesterday as I was sitting back in my hotel room working on some things. It was a really solid listen, and I think you'll enjoy it as well, plus everything that he puts out on a daily basis. And Bernie, of course, before we let you go, we got to hear about the folks who allow us to bring you on the radio here.
I would love to. You know, today, very cold and windy in St. Louis, and I once again grateful for Saliga Heating and Cooling. This proud, independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer has been taking care of the Miklas and our home, the family in our home, for about 16 years, and we are grateful for them, because whenever we have a problem, if there's a mini emergency, whether there's just something that has to be dealt with or checked out, we love knowing we can call Saliga Heating and Cooling, and help will be on the way. And it'll be honest help. It'll be highly professional and knowledgeable, and you can trust them and count on them. And that's a very comforting thing to have when you're trying to decide who to call for heating and cooling. And of course, they have that American Standard heating and air conditioning equipment. So in the winter, our heat works great because we're in this maintenance program called the Priority Club. So before the cold weather, Saliga comes out and makes sure that everything's working properly. They do a little maintenance work on, we have like, you know, steam radiators. They do a little maintenance work because these things are ancient, but they have them as new and as good as ever. And of course, they work with us on our cooling system before the summer. All they do is check the equipment. They make sure everything's good. And that gives you peace of mind, and it can save you some money in the long run. So check out that Priority Club. And also, there are financing options available subject to credit approval and for anything regarding Saliga Heating and Cooling. For all the information on services that they have, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. You'll get the phone number there. It's SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you, Matt.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to broadcast from the winter meetings in Dallas. Things starting to wrap up. And a guy who you know, you see him all the time on MLB Network. He is a St. Louisan. He is Greg Amsinger. He joins us right now. Greg, great to see you. How are you?
Matt, good to see you. First time I actually get to hang out with you on the air. So
yes.
Looking forward to this.
You're a guy who's from St. Louis, and you don't hide that on the air. How much pride do you take in where you come from and being able to share that with everybody?
You know, I think I'm well-suited for the job I have at MLB Network. Live look-ins of all 30 games, paying attention to the game for a living. Because I fell in love with baseball watching the St. Louis Cardinals. And look, you need to be professional in this business when you're on national television. I don't want all Cub fans to hate me. But during commercial breaks, I let my friends know I am cheering for the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't think there's an issue with that. I fell in love with baseball, and that passion resonates when you see me on TV. And I fell in love with baseball because of the Cardinals. So it's a weird offseason to see them trading away future Hall of Famers potentially, but I do not shy away from letting people know that my allegiance is with St. Louis.
This winter meeting's a little bit more active than last year. It started with the Soto deal. There's been a few other things, the Garrett Crochet deal earlier today.
Yeah.
It seems like things are happening a little bit more this year.
Juan Soto is a generational talent.
Yeah.
So for Sunday night and have him get kicked off with that monumental historic contract, to me, I just knew that everyone else was in a terrific spot to start letting the dominoes fall. It was a bit slower than I expected. I thought Juan Soto going on Sunday night, the first night of these winter meetings, would kickstart just chaos, and we would see many more players signing and trades. It's probably a little bit below the tempo that I expected. I really was surprised to see Juan Soto go Sunday night. I thought it'd be a Monday thing, but to have him off the board with a contract that no one expected, not one person said, I think he's going to get $765 million. I didn't hear one person say that. So for him to get that and to see all the other players sign, a lot of pitchers off the board, the trade of Crochet is a big one. I don't think the Boston Red Sox are done either. I think he immediately makes them better than the Baltimore Orioles in that division. So there's just a lot to sink your teeth into in the winter meetings. It's always fun to talk about the business of baseball.
Is there bigger implications with the fact that a Soto, a once-in-a-generation type player, can get that kind of money, or the fact that middling players like a Frankie Montas, a Matthew Boyd, a Luis Severino, that these guys are getting bigger money than we expected?
Well, it's refreshing to see teams like the Athletics spend a historic amount of money on a starting pitcher, over $60 million for Luis Severino to be the ace for 3 years of a team that looks like they're ready for bear with those position players that they have. Their lineup's going to score a lot of runs. So to see a team like the Athletics get involved to spend money is loads of fun. To watch the Guardians shake up their roster and send Jimenez to the Toronto Blue Jays, watching the Blue Jays beg players with contracts of $700 or more million dollars to come to Canada and play shows that there is a desire to win. And when you look around the landscape of baseball, if we as an industry thought, that the Los Angeles Dodgers are this bulletproof championship dynasty, would you see all of this activity?
Mm-mm.
I don't think you would. I think all of these clubs want a piece of the action, and they think they're a couple moves away from being the best team in Major League Baseball. So that's exciting.
Cardinals are in this weird phase where they got Chaim Bloom redoing the player development system. Salaries, payroll is going to go down this year. From a long-term perspective, are you all in, or are you a little bit out on what the Cardinals are doing?
I'm all in. Look, I fell in love with the Cardinals in the 1980s. Yes, they traded Gary Templeton for Ozzie Smith, but all those other guys were homegrown. Like, you watched them come up from the minor leagues. This was the original approach of Cardinal baseball, right? And what you're looking at is an organization that has a bunch of young players that for the last 3 years have been playing like my analogy has always been the Cardinals have an in-season AAU basketball tryout.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't be the case. The thing that breeds consistency in this sport is commitment And the Cardinals have just not been committing to their young players because there is a sense of urgency to win right now. You got players in the books who make a lot of money. At one point it was Yachty, and you brought back Albert. You have Waino, you have Arenado, you have Goldie. You got to win right now. You can't commit. You can't let Jordan Walker go in a two-week-long slump. Now we can. Like, let Victor Scott play 150 games. I want to see what he can do. I want to let Jordan Walker play. I don't care if it's 198. I want to see what he does for 155 games. Ivan Herrera behind the plate. I love watching that kid play. I want to see him play every day. Mason Wynn, you know he's going to play every day. I want to see Nolan Gorman play third base. He plays every day. What is Lars Nootbaar? Is he a leadoff guy? Is he a slug guy? Is he a left field version of Andy Van Slyke? Let's find that out this year. The commitment to the young players to really see the canvas that Chaim Bloom is painting on is the goal of the 2025 season. And as I say that, I wouldn't be shocked if they won the division.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if the Cardinals won the division. Because think about this for a second. When you're going into opening day 2024 and you got, you know, a record contract for a manager – and that skipper leaves Milwaukee to go to Chicago and Craig Council. You trade your ace, Corbin Burns, before spring training. Your all-star closer has a broken back. He's not going to come back till after the all-star game. Your second-best pitcher, Brandon Woodruff, out with a shoulder injury. You're thinking, the Brewers, they're going through the transitional stage, right? They're going to relaunch. Brand-new manager, has no big league experience as a manager. He was an interim for a little bit, but this is his first full season. No one expected them to win the division, let alone easily win the division. The Brewers easily won the NL Central division. So if you look man for man, I will tip my cap. I don't think there's a player the Cardinals have that is as talented as Jackson Chourio. I think he is a mini version of Acuna. That's how special he is. But pound for pound, player for player, the Cardinals have more depth of talent than the Milwaukee Brewers. I know the Reds are coming. I love the moves they're making. They're going to be forced to share. I think that the pitching in Pittsburgh is awesome. I think it's the best in the division. And the Cubs are probably going to do something here. If they trade for Kyle Tucker, they try to go big. You never know what Chet Hoyer is going to do, and he's feeling the pressure. All that said, I think the Cardinals have a chance to win the division, and that would just blow the minds of all of the fans in Cardinal Nation.
Well, I agree with you, and especially when you think about Arenado and Goldschmidt had down years this past year offensively. If Walker and Gorman are able to take steps forward, and that's this whole thing is really keyed in on Walker and Gorman, and then you get a healthy Nootbaar maybe, you get Contreras over at first base, 150 games because he's able to stay in there. There's a bunch of ifs here. I get that. There's question marks. But if those things happen, the offense is much better than it was last year.
And let's consider what a roster looks like, not just by subtracting players, right? Arenado probably going to get traded. Eric Fetty probably going to get traded. Sonny Gray probably going to get traded. Ryan Helsley probably going to get traded. I think Wilson Contreras probably gets traded at some point this year. You think of it as a roster subtraction, but we're never considering the players you're getting back in return. So we're talking about a core group of players that you could roll out in opening day and you think could be competitive. But you're going to add even more young talent to that roster by trading all of these players. So, I think it's a movement. I think Ollie Marmol was the perfect guy for this movement. He got placed into a position of win-now mode, and then they got even older by bringing back Albert Pujols for that unbelievable season that was so fun to watch. But it was veteran-laden for a very young manager like Ollie Marmol. But this is it's very reminiscent of Brian Cashman when he could finally conduct his farm system the way he always wanted to conduct it. He likes to scout, draft, develop young players, but he was the New York Yankees with huge purse strings and they wanted to win every year, so he had to spend big money on the, you know, Hideki Matsui and the Jason Giambis and the Johnny Damons. He had to do that stuff. But this is how he wants to operate. To me now, I think this is the team Ollie Marmol has always wanted to manage, and it's exciting to have a guy in the dugout that wants to connect with young players and get the most out of them. And I think he's going to do that well this year.
Wrap up with this. You were at KMOX. Give me a story. Give me a KMOX memory that you think of.
Oh, my goodness. So many. Randy Carrick was obviously a huge mentor of mine, and to produce a show for him was just epic. But I'll never forget, I'm a producer of Sports on a Sunday with the great Ron Jacober.
Just elected into the Missouri Broadcasters Hall of Fame this week.
It should have happened earlier. Yeah. It should have happened earlier. And the great Ron Jacober's like, hey, you want to come in here and you want to talk high school football? You do some play-by-play. Play, don't you? High school football. I'm like, yeah, I'll come in the studio and do that. So I sit down and I talk high school football St. Louis High School football with Ron Jacobert. I was on the airwaves of Cam Wex for the very first time. I was 20 years old, a junior at Lindenwood University at the time. And when I tell you, my relatives thought that I made it. Because in St. Louis, everyone's listening to Cam Wex. So when they heard me on with Ron Jacobert, Sports on a Sunday, man, I didn't think there was any higher level than that. So that was my favorite Cam Wex memory that I can share, because man, I did get to produce live from Shannon's, and that stuff was wild, bro. That was a wild good time. But yeah, Cam Wex puts a smile on my face every time I think about it.
One of the things I love about you, Greg, is you love baseball, and I feel like you want to help other people love baseball. And I think that comes out when we see you on TV, and as someone who loves baseball as well, thank you for that.
I really appreciate you saying that. I want to make baseball as cool as possible, and you'll never see me read a script. I have no teleprompter on there. I'm hanging out with the boys, and if you ever wonder what it would look like to have a drink with Greg Amsinger and watch a game, I want MLB Network to look like that every time you see me on TV. So that's always the goal, and I appreciate those kind words.
Yeah, I think that you have accomplished it. Thanks for the time.
You're awesome. Thank you.
That's Greg Amsinger. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line. We continue to come your way from the baseball winter meetings in Dallas coming up in our set. By the way, this has been a really cool 6 o'clock hour weekly conversation with Bernie Miklas. Fantastic, as always. And then to be able to get Greg Amsinger from MLB Network, a very proud St. Louisan. I think he does St. Louis right on his when he talks about it on MLB Network. Great to be able to talk with Greg for a few minutes as well. And hopefully he won't be a stranger here to Sports Open Line. We'll try to get him on occasion here moving forward. Next hour, we are going to hear from Ricky Horton. We're going to talk with Ricky about something a little bit different. In addition to him being here at the winter meetings to help with broadcast stuff and radio stuff, he was also here with Cardinals alumni. And we're going to speak with him about what that was like, and just another side aspect of the baseball winter meetings. And Sam Levitt, who does pre-post on San Diego Padres radio, he is a friend of the program. He's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We'll talk a little bit about Mike Schilt and talk about the Padres and whether or not that's a fit for Nolan Arenado. We'll do all that coming up. Before we get out of here for the hour, no way to transition to this, and it is sad news, unfortunately, that we have to report. It just came out on social media a few moments ago that an absolute legend of St. Louis sports has passed away. Pat McBride died this morning. 2-time All-American national champion playing soccer at SLU. Played for the U.S. national team. He passed away at the age of 81. 5 appearances with the U.S. soccer men's national team. Really captained the U.S. squad in several of his appearances with the team. Went on and was just a beacon of soccer in the St. Louis area. Coached at St. Louis Community College, coached St. Louis Steamers, just did a lot of things. So based off what's being reported right now, very unexpected, passing away at the age of 81 years old. So Pat McBride, St. Louis soccer legend, has passed away. Unfortunately, we have to share that news with you here on KMOX.